very good friend of ours, with our sister station there in Whanganuiatara to Upoko te Ika, my good friend Adrian Wagner. Kia ora, Adrian.
Oh, kia ora e hoa. Kia ora koutou katoa e whakarongo maina.
Tēnā koe, tēnā koe. Hey, Adrian. Winston Peters, you've known him. He's been around for a long time. Actually, 40 years.
Oh, we've known him for a long time.
40 years in Parliament, 18 years in government. I thought to myself when he said, when he spoke for an hour about how bad things are in New Zealand, I thought, my gosh, if you've been in Parliament for 40 years, you've been a minister for 18 years, shouldn't you have fixed a lot of this by now? But anyway, Adrian, is this just typical playbook, Winston?
Oh, this is just typical Winston, you know. I think Winston's pandering to his voters, you know. He's made a pact with Hobson's Pledge, obviously, because he's got Casey Costello in there, and she's a well-known, well, she was the CEO of Hobson's Pledge, and of course we know that, you know, Hobson's Pledge is all about. They don't seem to like Māori, or they seem to want to go back to the 1950s, when I think they feel a bit threatened. So he's made a pact with them, and some of the stuff he's saying is straight out of their playbook, to be honest. And so to just to listen to him saying that, oh my gosh, I don't even know if he believes it, to be to what he's saying. I spoke to now what's his name, Julian Batchelor.
Yep.
And he was the same. It just didn't feel like he believed what he was saying. He was spreading similar stuff around about this kind of co-op or co-governance. I don't think he was likening it to Nazism, but it was almost up there. And yeah, and of course, when I said to him, when I asked him a few questions during the interview, I could kind of tell that he just didn't know what he was talking about, and he was just parroting on some stuff that he'd been asked to do by his financiers, his financial backers. Now, who knows what Winston, what kind of financial backing Winston's got? You know, the last time he was in, well, at one stage when he was in Parliament, he got into trouble because of all that.
Yeah, that's right.
And he kept it secret. Mm-hmm. But this is a few years ago now. But with what he's saying now, it kind of makes you think that his backers are saying, if you don't do this, if you don't start, you know, working for your money that we gave you and mentioning all this kind of stuff, you're finished, or whatever. I don't know. I don't know. But that's what it feels like. Winston will probably say, oh, no, you're totally wrong. But, you know, having said that about Winston, he was always good to us at Te Upoko. Yep. He used to always talk to us. And he supported Māori Radio. And that's because we spoke to him when the others wouldn't.
Yeah.
And we allowed him to have his kōrero when the others didn't. When the mainstream didn't, and I think he still has that respect for Māori Radio today.
We're talking about Māori Radio broadcasting and journalism. There's been some mixed reporting about exactly what Tama Pōtaka said. First reported saying that Māori broadcasting, Māori journalism needs to be more economically self-sufficient. As a radio station manager, did that send a shiver down your spine, Adrian?
Well, I mean, look, Te Upoko was based on the kaupapa.
Yeah.
And no matter what, the kaupapa keeps us going. And the kaupapa for us was te reo and giving our people a voice. And so that kaupapa keeps us going. Yes, it does. It is disappointing to hear those sort of words, but that's what Willie said. But when it came to asking the minister, he denied that. Mm. He denied that this was happening. But having said that, he's a newbie. I'm not sure how much he's going to do to try and defend his budget. as you know, a lot of our ministries have been asked to save some money, and that's just to create the environment for tax cuts. But well, you heard Winston the other day. He said it, and he was agreeing with some of the economists. Yeah. There's a $5.6 billion hole in the budget, and even Nicola Willis is trying to deny that now. But you know, this is the stuff that's been bandied about at the moment. Yeah, so there's all sorts of things going on, but they've only been in Parliament, or only been the government for a few months. Mm-hmm. 4 months?
Yeah.
Yeah. And already they're making the country, some would say they're making the country look a bit ridiculous, calling people in the country or co-governance Nazis, Nazism, and the like. But, yeah, no, it is something I never thought I would see in my lifetime of, you know, being an observer of politics in our country.
Adrian, I've got my mate Jamie Daly in the studio. I'm going to ask him this question. I do want you to hold on, of course. Is Tama Pōtaka, Jamie, really in charge of the portfolio, or is he the de facto minister of Māori development? Is the person that really is in charge a Shane Jones or Winston Peters?
Yeah, it's an interesting one, isn't it? Yeah. And he had to look at pre-election with the threats that Winston had on in exchange with Jack Tame on TVNZ. We're definitely in challenging times where Winston's playing that sort of media card at the moment, and I guess trying to garner a lot of support through anti-mainstream media sentiment, and it's sort of his fringe voters in his constituency, it's sort of playing into, I guess, that sort of demographic. One could argue was pretty successful at the election, but it's you know, in terms of where we are with the mainstream media and media funding, the economic outlook for it all broadly, it doesn't look good.
Let's accept what I think is a conservative figure of $5.6 billion in terms of a deficit, $15 billion worth of tax cuts if you take in consideration the landlord cuts and the cuts they've spoken about for the middle to upper middle class. Well, let's put that deficit aside. But you in Whanganui Ōtara, Adrian, are living in an area particularly where you've got infrastructure deficit. 46%. 46% of the water is lost by the time it gets taken out of the river there or the dam to where it gets supplied. 46% is leaked. Is it as bad as the stories that we hear up in Tamaki Makaurau?
No.
Yeah?
No, it's not as bad. Yeah. It's not as bad as that. No. I mean, I live here. I can see people watering their gardens still, and no one's rationing showers. I mean, it's not like Auckland where you get they've got water meters on all the houses. Yeah. We don't have that here. We don't want it here either. But we do have to have. There is an infrastructure deficit here, and it's pretty similar across the whole country.
Yeah,
not sure what Auckland's like because they've got several new suburbs, so the infrastructure in those areas will be pretty good. But in the older areas of Auckland, that'll probably be needing renewing. It's across the country pretty much, and you know that whole thing about the three waters, and that was ridiculous because now the councils are going to have to pay for this whole thing themselves, and it's most councils across the country can't afford to. Well, even big areas like Wellington and Christchurch, they just can't afford to. Christchurch has just probably renewed most of its infrastructure.
That's right. Years. Yeah, but, no, that's right. Yes.
But I mean, there are places like Dunedin and of course, Wellington. Mm. We can't afford to spend billions and billions of dollars on that infrastructure because, you know, there are other things that we need to spend our money on as well. And then there's the social side of things like social housing. We're probably one of the biggest landlords, our council is, out of all the councils across the whole country. And I think we've got about 3,000 houses in Wellington that are council owned. So there's a social side of the council. But if we get somebody who is more like the mayor in Auckland, we'll probably see a lot of that sold off.
But Adrian, you had a huge realignment in your city just last week when the council basically said that they made some quite huge structural changes in terms of the city planning around the ability to have mid-density housing, some of the character homes that exist in Wellington, and even some of the apartments that look like an eyesore to me that fell under the special character scheme. Do you think by and large that the people of Wellington have said, yep, we might not like it, but we know that it's necessary?
No, I think we're pretty much similar to most other places, you know. I mean, if you're in a neighbourhood and the houses are characterful and they're beautiful, they're old, say like Mount Vic in Wellington, you don't want that to change too much, and you don't want too much of that kind of building taking place that you were talking about there. Having said that, we do need to look at a different design or different types of housing in Wellington to cope with the influx. And we have had an influx, and we do have a lot of homeless people living in Wellington, and a lot of them are sort of antisocial, unfortunately, and they live in Central City and other parts of the city, which is a real shame, and it's kind of bringing down the character of the city.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's adding to the character, but
true. Hey, let's talk about the character of the city, Adrian. John Campbell and Julian Wilcox are very excited. They're already popping the champagne. They reckon that that the season's all done and dusted, and the Hurricanes are going to win the Super Rugby. They're at the top of the table. They haven't done very well for the last few years. Do you have a bit of hope for them this year, Adrian?
Oh, absolutely. We all have a bit of hope for our Hurricanes, and not just the Hurricanes, the Phoenix are at the top of the table as well.
They are.
In the A-League. So, both those two teams, where people are really excited here in Wellington for both of the teams. It's only early days yet for the Hurricanes, because we don't know what's going to happen on Friday
or this weekend,
in the next few weeks.
Melbourne.
Yeah.
They should have a third one.
The Rebels.
Yeah, they should have a
third
one.
Up there in Winston Stomping Ground, Palmerston
North.
Palmerston North, do you think the kids from Freiburg High might be walking them on with the haka this weekend, Adrian?
Well, that would be fantastic. Yeah. They did a bloody good job the other day. You can understand why they did that. To David, unfortunately for David Seymour, and it's because of the things he was saying. You know, that school has school lunches.
Yes.
He's talking about cutting the school lunches. Mm. That school has underprivileged kids going in there, and he's pulling out, making things harder to access those sort of things that kids really need to do well in school. So you can understand why, and of course it's been articulated in the media quite a lot, and that would have ramped up the tension as well.
Mm-hmm. And look, it seemed to have upset some elderly white folks, but I don't give him a lot of credit, but you've got to give David Seymour some credit, Jamie. He didn't seem too perturbed about it, did he?
I think he handled it very well, actually. Yeah. He loves freedom of speech, doesn't he, David? Like him or loathe him, whether you enjoy his politics or not, I think he showed quite a lot of bit of respect and restraint, actually, given the circumstances. Not saying that they were unwarranted, Shane, but I thought he handled it quite well.